We discovered that we can live in victory as we realize the battle is God's victory through His Son. It becomes ours through submission, and that victory can be ours in any situation and in any place. Today, I want to challenge you to be an overcomer. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And then would you turn over to the book of Revelation, please? Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." They overcame him, it's Satan. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and because they loved not their lives unto the death. Father, we ask your blessing upon this word today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to all have that desire and to have the grace to be an overcomer. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a story that took place June 27th, 1976. Many of you will remember it. The United States was 7 days away from celebrating its 200th birthday, and it was on a Sunday. There was a commercial Air France jet going to Tel Aviv, Israel from Paris with a stop at Athens, Greece. The plane landed in Athens, Greece, let off some of its passengers, and took on some new passengers. Some terrorists got aboard the plane. After the plane left the runway, the terrorists took over the aircraft. And instead of flying east, they turned the plane due south. They flew to Libya, Omar Gaddafi's area. There the plane landed and refueled. Then it continued south into the continent of Africa, all the way to Uganda. It landed there with 250 passengers on board, including 12 crew members. They landed on an old runway and put the passengers in an old airport terminal in the city of Entebbe. The new airport was adjacent to the old one. Through the course of the next week, people began to realize what was going on. And with a couple of days, the terrorists started sending some of the passengers back home. Israel was very concerned, however, because none of the Jews were being released. There was about 100 Jews on that flight. The world said to Israel, don't worry, don't get excited. We're going to take care of this diplomatically. So please just sit tight and don't do anything. Don't try anything drastic. Israel said, okay, that was their plan A. They would wait for diplomacy to try to get their people back. But also, they were already putting into practice plan B. They had another way to get their people back. The word overcome means that God's people can conquer. It means that they can prevail. It means that they can walk away with the victory. And I would like to say to you, first of all, today that the goal of the Christian should not be just to survive. The goal of the Christian should be to overcome. And there are three different areas here, and you fall into one of these three categories this morning. First of all, you are an overcomer. You have overcome. Or secondly, you are a survivor. You haven't overcome. You haven't been on the attack. You haven't been offensive, but you've survived. And the third group of people is those who have been overcome. They are not overcomers. They are not even survivors. They have been overcome. The worst thing that could happen to a Christian in this life is to be overcome. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and are overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." I'm sure that we have all seen Christians who have been defeated by the world, the flesh, and the devil. They used to be in church. They used to serve God. They used to witness to the lost. They used to read their Bible and pray. And the reason why the word used to is there is because they have been overcome. Then there are the survivors. They have not been overcome, but they themselves have not overcome either. They have survived. There is an illustration of this in the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 16 in verse 5. It says, "Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him." They fought against him, but they could not overcome him. The enemy did not conquer Ahaz, and Ahaz did not conquer the enemy. God's people there were simply survivors. It was a draw. It wasn't a checkmate. It was a stalemate. It wasn't victory. It wasn't defeat. It was just simply survival. Now, do you know that many of the sermons that us preachers preach to you are messages of survival? You need to survive. When we preach the don'ts of the Christian life, we are trying to help you so that you are not overcome by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And there are some very important don'ts in the Christian life. It's necessary that we talk about them. It's necessary that we preach about them. For example, don't let your heart become cold. Don't become rebellious. Don't become like the world. Don't run with the wrong crowd. Don't become bitter. Don't get angry. Don't let pride take over your life. All of these things are necessary to help you survive spiritually. But none of those things, however, produces an overcomer. And my goal is not only to help you survive, but to overcome. And that should be your goal as well, because the goal of the Christian life is not simply to survive. The goal is to be an overcomer. The word in the Greek means to conquer, to prevail, to carry off the victory. Luke chapter 11, verses 21 through 22 says, "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils." I want to challenge you to be an overcomer. To be an overcomer who takes back the enemy's armor and divides the spoils, just like David did when he defeated Goliath. He marched right up there to Goliath after he had slew him. And he took out Goliath's own sword and cut off his head. They took all of his armors, they divided the spoil among themselves. That's the way the Christian is to be. We are to be victorious. We are to be triumphant. We are to take the enemy's spoils away from him. Take the weapons away from the enemy so that we might be an overcomer. Let me bring this home to you some practical ways. A young person survives when he refuses to become rebellious, but he becomes an overcomer when he honors his parents. A wife survives when she doesn't dishonor her husband. She overcomes when she reverences and respects her husband. A husband survives when he doesn't become bitter toward his wife, but he overcomes when he loves his wife as Christ loved the church. We survive when we come to church instead of staying home or doing something else. We overcome when we come to church and minister to others. We survive when we don't watch dirty things on TV or read filthy magazines, but we overcome when we read our Bible and pray. We survive when we don't let others pull us down. We overcome when we help others become what God wants them to be. We survive when we don't become proud. We overcome when we take on the character of humility. The parent survives when he or she doesn't get angry or provoke their children to wrath, but they overcome when they can give their children praise. Brothers and sisters, how many of you have brothers and sisters here today? You survive when you don't fight with each other, but you overcome when you learn how to encourage and build each other up. We survive when we don't cause divisions among each other. We overcome when we bring about reconciliation. We survive when we don't get offended when somebody hurts us. We overcome when we learn how to bless and love our offenders. Christian young people survive when they don't act, dress, or look like the world. They overcome when they influence the world around them with their standards. There are many things that we could talk about today and how we should not be just survivors, but we should be overcomers. We should be influencing the world. We should be changing the world. We should be making a difference in our world, not just surviving the world that is around us. And you know, too many Christians are happy just surviving. God deliver us from wanting to be just survivors. Jesus told a parable about a man who received 5 talents. Another man received 2 talents, and the third man had 1 talent. The day of reckoning came, and the man called for an accounting. And he said to the man, "Where is your 5 talents? And he said, "I have gained 5 more, and here they are." And the master was pleased with that servant. He came to the next servant, who he had given 2 talents to, and he said, "Where are your 2 talents? And he said, "Here they are, and I have gained 2 more. For a total of 4. And the master was pleased with that servant. But the third servant, who had 1 talent. "Where is your talent?" He said, "I have hid my talent in the earth." See, I was concerned about just surviving, just holding on to what I had. I knew that you were a hard man, and I just didn't want to take any risks. "Here is your talent back." Do you know the master was not pleased with that man? God is not pleased when we are interested in simply surviving. He wants us to overcome. Because while Christians are simply surviving, the world is going to hell around us. The goal of the Christian should not be just to survive. The goal of the Christian should be to overcome. Number 2, this truth is especially true for young men. Young men, it is especially true for you that you need to use your youth, the years of your strength, to be an overcomer, to be out there conquering. Look at John, 1 John, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. "I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one." Verse 14, "I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. How many young men do we have here today? Can I see your hand? Now let me redefine what I think a young man is. I won't put an age cap on it, but I'll give you a starting place. How's that? I think from the age of 12, children should be young men, should be acting like young men. They can be strong, and they can be doing things for God, and they can overcome. And I think this is really important, that even at a young age, even at the age of 12, you see yourself as an overcomer. So now how many young men do we have? 12 and up. Every man, 12 and up. This is important because the things that we fail to conquer in our youth may be the things that hang around us to defeat us the rest of our lives. You know that you make a wrong decision in your youth, and that decision could haunt you for the rest of your life. So I want to challenge you to act like men. And I want to challenge you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. All of you guys are young warriors. You are the Lord's warrior. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. I haven't planned on telling this. One of my favorite stories. You know what, a story about David and his 3 mighty men? These guys were excellent swordsmen. And one day they're out in battle, and David simply said, probably without even thinking, "I wish I had a cup of water from the well in Bethlehem." And do you know that 3 of David's men broke through the enemy's lines, went to Bethlehem, got a drink of water for David, came back through the enemy's lines, and gave it to him to drink. You talk about warriors. You talk about strong men. Guys, you need to be that strong in obeying the voice of the Lord. When the Lord commands you to do something, that you will do it. Without hesitation, without delay, you will do it. And you young ladies, these young warriors are going to need godly wives someday. And they're going to need godly wives to encourage them. And you, at your age, probably you don't understand the power of encouragement. The power of encouragement is very powerful. It's a tremendous thing. And I don't know if you realize it or not, ladies, the power of encouragement, what it does to your husband. It really could make him do impossible things. If he knows that you are behind him and you are standing with him and you are encouraging him, in some very real ways, you can make your husband. Well, the opposite is true. Sometimes you can break him too. But I think that your husband has greater potential with you than he has without you. And you will help him not be simply a survivor. You will help him be an overcomer and more than a conqueror. So the goal of the Christian life is not just to be a survivor, it's to be an overcomer. Number two, this truth is especially true for young men. The Bible speaks directly to young men about this issue. And number three, the answer in how you can be an overcomer. How can you do it? So that you're not simply a survivor. Or worse yet, you're not overcome. How can you be an overcomer? Number one, get saved. If you're here today and you've not given your heart to Jesus Christ, you've not given the reins of control to Him, do you know that you are already in Satan's grasp? You're already overcome. So the first thing to do is to give your heart to the Lord. Get saved. Number two, realize the resources that were given to you at the moment of salvation. Realize the resources that were given to you at the moment you received Christ as your personal Savior. 1 John 4:4 says, "You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Just the fact that you got saved and the great one, Jesus Christ, came to abide in you and to live in your heart and to become a part of your life means that you can be an overcomer. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Would you stop and think about this morning about who is living inside of you? I'm talking about right now. Who is living inside of you? Al, have you asked, Al's asked Jesus to be his Savior. So who's living inside of Al today? Jesus. But stop and think about who Jesus really is. He is the Creator. He is the all-powerful one. He is the all-knowing one. He said all power in heaven and earth has been given to him. He is the resurrection in the light and the life. He holds in his hands the keys to life and death. That is the person that lives in Al. And so all of the resources that God has is available to Al, is available to all of us who have received Christ. All of those resources are ours if we would just learn to tap into them. Revelation 17, 14 says, "And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Number three, exercise faith. Get saved, realize the resources that were given to you at the moment of salvation, and exercise faith. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Faith is using God's power to put into practice that which you know God is wanting you to do. It's saying, this is what God wants me to do. Now I just need to step out and do it. That's faith. It's to put your foot down and to start moving in the right direction. And when you do that, when you put your foot down and you start moving in the right direction, God will help you. You need to know how to witness. Just step out and God will help you do it. You need to pray for someone. Just step out and start praying and God will help you do it. You need to come to the altar. Just take one step and God will give you the power to walk the rest of the way, all the way to the altar. You need to stand against something or to speak out against something. Just start moving. Just start speaking, and God will help you do it. Just like the Israelites at the Red Sea. They came to the Red Sea. Most of them began to panic. What do? The Red Sea is there. The Egyptians are coming behind us. We are doomed. Moses said, "Fear not, you shall see the salvation of the Lord." And he took out his rod, then he held it over the water, and the waters rolled back, and the people walked over on dry ground. But it never would have happened unless Moses had said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." If he had not had the faith to hold out his rod over the water, and if the people had not had enough faith and enough courage to step in, faith, knowing what God wants you to do, and just start taking the steps to accomplish it, and God will help you do the rest. God just wants to know, are you willing? Are you willing? That's how you become an overcomer. Are you willing? Or do you just want to sit back and hold on for dear life and survive? Number four, seek out and find the help of others. Overcomers don't overcome by themselves. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus speaking, I say also unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The picture is not that we are standing there waiting for the gates of hell to attack. The picture is that we are storming the gates of hell. We are moving against the gates of hell. But you know, people don't storm the gates of hell by themselves. I'd like, about six people, if that's possible. If I could have six people up here today. Four Christians, two demons. If you're feeling a little ornery today, you come and stand on this side, you could be the demons. Four Christians, I don't care, you don't have to be a man, you could be a woman. You could be a young lady. Do we have a couple more? Thanks, Steve, for volunteering to be here. All right, good. One more on this side, and then one on that side. Anthony, let's take you first. Here's the picture. This is what most people think the Christian life consists of. You guys are the two demons, and you go attack Anthony. And he's thinking he's just got to stand up. He's got to resist the devil. And he's got to do this all by himself. And he sends out a prayer to God. Oh, God, help me. And he gets relief for a while. All right. And he has some amount of victory, but he's still constantly fighting these demons. That is not the picture the Bible gives us of a victorious Christian. That's not the picture the Bible describes of an overcomer. You demons, come back here. Get ready, brace yourselves. You guys join hands, right? This is what God wants us to do. Together, we advance the gates of hell. We join hands, get a running start, let's go. Now, do you see the difference? That's the difference in the Christian life. We don't stand there just hoping to survive. We take the initiative. We take the offensive. We say, come on, let's go. Let's attack. Let's storm the gates of hell together. And we do it. That's why, young people, if you see a person in your youth group that is not what they should be, you take the others in the group, you join hands, and you go to them and you say, hey, I noticed that you're having some difficulty. I noticed that you're defeated in your Christian life. We don't want you to have to live defeated lives. We're here together. We will encourage you. We will build you up, and together we will attack the gates of hell. And it will not be able to stand or prevail against you. That's what God wants us to do. The devil should not have time to attack Christians because Christians are too busy attacking him. You take the charge. You take courage. And you know, that's also why people need a church. The church is where people can come together and we can challenge each other and we can encourage each other. I will build my church, Jesus said. And the gates of hell will not be able to stand against it. Why? Because the church is on the move. The church is on the offensive. The church shouldn't be sitting back, hoping that we survive. Too many churches are just simply surviving. To be quite honest with you, too many churches are simply just surviving. They're just hanging on. They barely meet their balance every month. They're not active for the Lord. They're not witnessing. They're just surviving. God, deliver us from that survival mentality. Let's be overcomers. Let's storm the gates of hell. Let's do it together. You know, we need help. One day, the Israelites found themselves in a battle. Steve, get down here on your knees. You can be Moses. And as long as Moses was able to hold up his arms, the Israelites were victorious, right? But what happens when he put down his arms? They started to lose. So two guys, Aaron and Hur, came alongside Anthony, and they held up his arms. I don't know how long you could hold up your arms without any help, but I don't think it would be too long. I think in a matter of minutes, your arms would ache and you would have to put them down. But because these two came alongside and held up his arms, he was able to hold on and keep those hands up in the air until the Israelite army was victorious. Do you see the picture of what we need to do for each other? While we are simply surviving, other Christians are dying. We need to be encouragement for each other. We need to hold each other up, to build each other up, to pray one for another, to be there as a source of strength and encouragement and support, and storm the gates of hell together. Thanks, guys, all of you. Did a great job. Do you know that when you are with others, every time you're with others, you're either lifting them up or pulling them down? Why don't we decide just to do what's right? Let's just decide that we're going to stand together, and we're going to stand against the devil, and we're going to have spiritual victory, and we're not going to pull others down, and we're going to storm the gates of hell, and we shall overcome. You know, if America could pull together to stand against terrorists, why can't Christians stand against the world's greatest terror, the world's greatest terrorist, Satan, and overcome him? Why not stand together? Number five, discover, believe, live, and spread God's truths. How do you be an overcomer? Discover, believe, live, and spread God's truths. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Discover God's truths and weapons. Cast away wrong philosophies and traditions. Live by the truth of God's word and spread those truths. Example, the world says evolution, and the Christian says creation. The world says homosexuality is all right. The Christian says one man and one woman for life. The world says abortion is a mother's right. The Christian says abortion is murder. And how about the right of the unborn? The world says you have to live together to find out if you're compatible. The Christian says you are to present yourself as a chaste virgin. That means you save yourself for one person only. There's only one way to hold a sword in battle, and that is to hold it tightly. This would be my sword. Only one way to go into battle with a sword, and that is to hold it tightly. Because you cannot hold the truth lightly, because it'll get knocked out of your hands. You need to hold the truth solidly so that it is not knocked out of your hands. Somebody come up here. Josh, you want to come up here? Hold this sword lightly. If he holds the truth lightly, somebody comes along, they can very easily knock it out of his hands. Listen, if you hold the truth of God's word just simply lightly, somebody will come along and knock it out of your hand. But get a grip on it now. You put two hands on a thing, that's what I would do. Somebody comes and they try to knock that sword out of your hand. They try to knock the truth out of your hand, they're not going to be able to do it because you have gripped the truth. You know that the truth is found in God's word. You need to take those truths, you need to hang on to those truths, you need to grip those truths tightly and don't let anybody take them from you. I'm going to hold on creation to the idea of creation. Nobody is going to shake that truth from me. I'm going to get a hold on purity, and nobody is going to shake that truth from me. I'm going to get a hold on truth, and nobody is going to be able to shake the truth from me. Overcomers are overcomers because they have gotten a hold of the truth, and they will not let go. Thanks, Josh. There's a great illustration of this in the Bible, in 2 Samuel. Eleazar, one of David's mighty men, was attacking the Philistines. He fought until his hand, the Bible says, cleaved to his sword. When he was done fighting, he couldn't let go of the sword. They had to try to pry his fingers off the sword. He had gripped it so tightly while in battle. That's the way we are to be with God's word. That's the way we are to be with truth. We are supposed to hold it so tightly that nobody would be able to even pry our fingers off the truth, let alone knock it out of our hands. I heard a testimony about a boy named Donald. In high school, he was an all-state football player, a linebacker in the state of Texas. Well, Donald got saved. He went to his youth pastor and asked, "What do I do now? How do I let people know that I'm saved?" The youth pastor said, "Well, one of the things that you can do is start taking your Bible to school." Well, the only Bible that Donald had in his house was the big family Bible. So he took it to school because he wanted everybody to know he was a Christian. Now, Donald was a big guy. He probably could have whipped anybody in the school. So when people walked by and looked at his Bible, I'm sure they wanted to smirk, make a wisecrack, but they simply said, "Nice Bible, Donald," and they went on their way. One day, Donald was walking in the weight room when a classmate was coming out. He told Donald, he said, "It's hotter than blank in there." Donald says, "No, it's not. Come here and I'll show you what hot really is." And he opened his Bible and he talked to him about hell. And when he was done, he led him to the Lord. He got him saved. The night of homecoming, they scheduled a homecoming banquet at church for after the game. Donald's impact was so great that so many kids came to the church that they had to cancel the homecoming dance. Later on, the youth were having a bonfire to get rid of their worldly stuff. You know, music, clothes, whatever they thought was worldly. Donald was standing off to one side, holding in his hand an envelope. He stood there looking at this envelope. It looked like he was going to throw it in the fire. His youth pastor walked over to him and said, "Donald, what are you doing?" Donald said, "I've burned all these other things. I thought I might as well burn this too." "Well, what is it?" He said, "Here, pastor, you can have a look at it." The youth pastor opened it up, and it was full of letters of intent for football scholarships from some big colleges. The youth pastor looked at them and handed them back. Donald asked, "Pastor, could these things keep me from becoming a preacher and going to Bible college?" The youth pastor answered, "Well, it could." He said, "That's what I thought." And he threw it into the fire. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Are you an overcomer or a survivor? There was a commercial Air France jet going to Tel Aviv, Israel from Paris with a stop at Athens, Greece. It landed in Athens, Greece, let off some of its passengers and took on some new passengers. Some terrorists got aboard. After the plane left the runway, the terrorists took over the aircraft. Instead of flying east, they turned the plane due south. They flew to Libya, Omar Gaddafi's area. The plane landed there and refueled. Then it continued south into the continent of Africa, all the way to Uganda. Virtually all the hijacked hostages had been let go, except the Jews. The world was telling Israel not to get excited. They would get the people back through diplomacy. But nobody knew Israel was working on Plan B. They had a map of the airport where the hostages were held, and their men were already practicing on how they were going to go in there and how they were going to get their people out. They waited until the end of the week and decided if nobody else was going to do anything, they were. And so July 3rd, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, two 707s left Israel along with four C-130 transport planes, powerful planes that can fly long distances and land in a short distance and take off in a short distance. They carry massive loads. One of the 707s was an air communication plane. The other was a hospital with doctors and operating rooms and everything that they needed on board. Nobody in the world knew what was going on except the leaders in Israel and the commandos who were doing the raid. They carefully flew so as not to be detected on anyone's radar. They had no air communication for the whole trip, 2,400 miles, the longest air raid in the history of the world. They came in about 12 o'clock at night over beautiful Lake Victoria. Those C-130s sat down in the tarmac at the old airport in Entebbe. Nobody even knew they were there. The soldiers came pouring out of the aircraft. They walked into the building and the room where the hostages were. They yelled in their Jewish language for the Jews to get down, and then they opened fire. They took every hostage, put them on the plane, and flew back to Israel. They had rescued every single one and brought them safely home. The world looked on in amazement because a group of people in Israel refused to be simply survivors when others were being held in captivity. They had to be overcomers in order to get them out. Do you see the real reason why we need to be an overcomer? Because there are people all around us who are in captivity. They are being held hostage. They are being held captives by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those people are in captivity. They are trapped in sin, and somebody has to get them out. Somebody has to get them out. Somebody has to take some initiative. Somebody has to be an overcomer. There was great rejoicing in Israel when the families were reunited. In fact, there was probably greater joy, greater rejoicing in Israel the next day, July 4th, than there was even in America, although we were celebrating our 200th birthday. You are an overcomer, or a survivor, or have been overcome. Which one of those describes you? Whatever you are, decide right now, decide that you will be an overcomer. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Maybe in some areas of your life you're overcoming, in other areas you're simply surviving. Maybe there's some crossover in this, depending on the area of life that we are talking about. But as a whole this morning, are you an overcomer? Or are you simply surviving? Maybe there's even some here today that would have to admit that they have been overcome. Whatever you are this morning, my prayer is that you would make the decision to be an overcomer. How many here today, Pastor, I am making the decision to be an overcomer. Would you pray for me? Could I see your hand? Amen. I decide I'm going to be an overcomer. Amen. You could put them down. With God's help, you will. You will overcome. Remember the secret to victory? Secret to victory is realizing that it's God's victory through His Son and that it becomes yours through submission. Submitting to His Lordship. And that victory is yours in any situation and in every place. In every situation and in every place, God doesn't want you just to survive. He wants you to overcome. He wants you to be an overcomer. Lord, you've seen the many hands that have gone up here today, and I thank you, Lord, that your people are not satisfied with simply being survivors, but they want to be world changers. They want to set people free. They want to live the victorious life. they want to be overcomers. Grant them your grace today. Grant them your power. Grant them your might. Lord, I pray today for those that need to step out in faith in order to make this a reality. Give them, Lord, the grace, the faith that they need to simply step out, because we know, Lord, that as they are obedient to you and they step out in faith, you will honor them and reward them for that. You will lead them on. Your victory becomes their victory. We thank you for this. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We will triumph in the Lord. We will triumph like never before. For greater is He that makes me overcome. We will walk in the power of His might. We will shine forth His glorious light. For greater is He that makes me overcome. We will triumph in the Lord. We will triumph like never before. For greater is He that makes me we will shine forth His glorious light. For greater is He that makes me overcome. One more time, really build your faith this morning. We will triumph in the Lord. You will do it. Triumph like never before. Why? Greater is He that makes me stepping out in faith. We will shine forth His glorious light. For greater is He that makes me overcome. Amen. It makes you feel like marching right out there, doesn't it? Walking right out there. In victory, remember every place your foot walks has already been conquered ground. Jesus has already overcome it. He's already won. So we enter into His victory. No reason in the world we can't overcome in any situation and in any place. Praise the Lord.